End of the Blender, episode 43. Now panic.
You're listening to Into the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to media reviews.
Or whatever shiny object catches our eye that day. Your heart's beating for me. I'm just waiting to see. Where's the line that you would draw beyond me? And never let me be. Really, hey everybody, this is Viv.
And this is Chooch.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Oh, jeez. Should I get you a box of Slim Jims?
And a lighter, please.
Actually, by accident.
I like them crackling.
By accident, I happen to have caught part of an episode of the Wendy Williams show.
Yeah, y'all, if y'all aren't familiar with it, we watch The Soup, and he's always making fun of this talk show with this woman called Wendy Williams.
She's scurry,
y'all. She lights Slim Jims before she eats them because she likes it when they crackle or something. It's really disgusting. What did you see on
the show? I happened to catch part of an episode. It was like the opening, and she made this declaration that she's going on a diet.
Oh, no more Slim Jims.
No more Slim Jims because she finally read like what's in them and how bad they are for you. And decreed that if any of her assistants hand her one or if any are seen, she'll fire them.
Holy cow.
And then she starts calling out for assistants by name.
She
had like six assistants
gravy.
Or something. Which is clearly an excuse to name her assistants. I don't know why she has a show.
I don't know why it's their responsibility to keep them out of her sight.
Right. Yes,
she doesn't even want to see one. They like have to run in front of her when she walks into a 7-Eleven or something. No, don't look there.
Well, apparently they hide them for her in different cubby holes and places so that she happens upon them and then can enjoy it spontaneously or something. I don't know. I lasted all
Holy
of
cow.
3 minutes and flipped.
That's
and I'm
insane.
Like, I'll wait for the soup clips.
She's insane. So,
but at least she gets it.
Do you think she really gets it?
Well, the way that she records things specifically for the soup.
I think she's crazy.
Or makes calls out to the soup. At least she gets that, you know, why they're making fun of her.
I guess. So, yeah, this wasn't in our show notes. Well, Chooch, don't we have a voicemail by our good friend Nobilis?
We do.
I say we stop the shenanigans about Wendy Williams and we get to some important stuff here.
Just jump straight to it?
Just go right to it.
All right.
So this is a question from one geek parent to another. Hi, this is Nobilis. And I'm just curious about how you would handle a situation that we just had to handle tonight. Now, our daughter, Spinderfly, who's 15 years old, has been playing an MMO, Nabinogi, for 2 years. She lost access to a character, in fact, a whole group of characters that she'd been working on for that whole 2 years, because she forgot the password, and the recovery process leads them to send the password to an email that she doesn't have access to anymore, because it became corrupt / compromised, what have you. So she suffered a huge loss today, and I know how important that loss is. Well, around about bedtime, which in our house is 9 o'clock, yes, that's early for 15-year-olds, but it's not sleep time, it's bedtime. But in any case, that's beside the point. She was playing with her replacement character, starting all over again, and was attending an online wedding of a friend, and her time came, and she said, okay, computer time's over, you have to go to your room. And she wanted some slack. I'm curious how you would handle the situation. Now, ordinarily speaking, in our house, that time, especially on a school night like tonight, that time is the time it happens. It's done. No compromises. But I was tempted, really, to let her slack on it, especially for just a few minutes. So I'm just curious what your take on the situation is. I mean, we dealt with it the way we dealt with it, but I just, you know... And then on that note, she starts to get snarky, talkbackish, that kind of thing, which also, ordinarily speaking, isn't tolerated. How do you deal with that? Just curious.
Who are you calling a geek? That is something that we're familiar with, that type of problem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not that exact one, but very similar, because, you know, the boys that have lived with us both played MMOs,
mm-hmm,
and would frequently want to negotiate longer time on the computer,
yes,
for a raid or for a whatever, without taking into account what she had gone through with the loss of the characters. I would say, why would you think it would be okay to attend a wedding that started at 9 anyways? An online wedding?
Well, it doesn't
sound
like maybe it started at 9. It sounds like maybe it was going along.
Right. Right. What I would say to that is, you know, depends on if she got her stuff done for the day.
Yeah.
We did allow leeway if they were on top of their other stuff of a few minutes here or a few minutes there. Like, I think that there were a little bit spoiled, at least in the aspect that Chooch and I play games and we know, mm-hmm, how hard it is to just walk out on a group when you've been,
yeah,
you know, and WoW, it's raiding, and LOTRO, it's questing, and
yeah, if we call up and say, you got to get the trash out or whatever, and they're like, yeah, oh, we're in the middle of this instance.
Right.
And we would say, you know, cool, you got 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. As soon as it's done, do it. If I see that you've moved on to something, yeah, else and it's not done, then you're done for the night.
Yeah. As we were kids, you know, parents did not know the concept of a save point.
No.
Or
no. And even my brother's kids, their mom didn't have, mm-hmm, any interest, didn't care. You had to stop what you were doing right then. And, you know, we're a little bit more forgiving on that because we know how it is. We understand the dynamic and how you can have a really good group going. And then if you drop out and have, you know, parent aggro or whatever, then you might not get on that group again. And it's hard to find good groups. So we accommodate that. A wedding is, I don't know what I would have done in that instance. If she had been on the ball with everything that day, I don't know that I would have given in just because she had lost the characters, because, mm-hmm, then you kind of, especially with a 15-year-old girl, I don't know how prone Spenderfly is to it, but speaking from my own history, if I found that having an overly dramatic, hysterical day was going to get me longer time on the computer,
mm-hmm,
well, guess what behavior I'm going to exhibit more of to get more
time
on the computer.
Some things might mysteriously start going wrong in your life.
Right. And I don't even know that it's a calculated move. It's more of a subconscious, because at her age, she's probably going through a lot of stuff, a lot of emotion stuff. I know I did.
Mm.
So it's just a go-to if you get...
Yeah.
And I would say rewarded for that, you know, and I don't know how, I mean, I know that you had said that she was being particularly snarky in Twitter that day. I would have very little tolerance for that, for her taking it out on other people, which is, I think, the second part of your question.
Right.
You know, bad things happen and you don't beat your loved ones up when bad things happen.
For me, I would, with the snark stuff, I wouldn't immediately clamp down papow. I might give a little bit of leeway, but the way I would do it is stop them, you know, cut them off.
Right.
And say, you went through some stuff, you're feeling bad about it.
Yeah.
That's not an excuse to talk that way.
Right. And you can't take it out
so
on Nitro Lead.
That's your freebie.
Right.
Cut it out.
Right.
So.
And at least pulling the aggro off of the other teen in that aspect, because, you know, her brother didn't do anything. And if I remember correctly, he was bearing the brunt of some of her upset that day. If I remember correctly, and I may not be, it seemed like Nitro Lad, which is what they call her brother, mm-hmm, was bearing the brunt. Mm-hmm. So I would have done, like you said, immediately pulled the aggro off of him and tried to calm her down and direct her anger or energy or whatever into something less damaging for the family, less upsetting for the family kind of a thing. But you know, it's one of those things, you know, bad things happen and you've got to learn how to react to them. And at 15, it's when you should be learning, but it's also a really hard time to get a handle on your emotions.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have punished her. I would have just tried to get her to calm down and direct it in another way.
But definitely not making special concessions.
No. I don't think that equals into, okay, you can stay up later now to work on this mm-hmm. character. If it took her 2 years to get to the point where she wanted to be with that other character, one night of extra playing isn't going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. It's a tough one because you feel really bad for them. You want to not make it up to them or fix it, because so you can't always do that. When the universe poos on your head, it's not very likely that you're frequently going to be able to fix it for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you try to reassure them that they'll be happy, they'll move on, they'll be okay. It's definitely a teaching opportunity, because you can then say, well, you need to make sure that you don't have stale email accounts on your mm-hmm. account information. You know, it's one of those things that even as adults, we lax on. Mm-hmm. But with everything being tied to email accounts, you got to make sure you're on top of that. Not in a critical way of you should have kept that up to date, but just, yeah. Well, you know, maybe you learn to do this a little more. Maybe go through all of your accounts right now while you're thinking about it and make sure everything's linked up to valid email mm-hmm. accounts. Nothing else is tied to that, what did he call it? The compromised email account. Right. I mean, I don't know. Was she talking 10 minutes for the wedding? Was she talking an hour for the wedding?
Yeah, and the voicemail said a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So a normal day to day, as long as the rest, like you said, as long as the rest of the day had gone fine, the homework was done, all that
chores
sort of thing.
Chores were done.
We'd have no problem
right.
giving a little leeway. Whether there had been drama or not.
Right. That would have been separate. And that was something that we had pretty well instilled in the kids when they lived with us, which was, we will give you leeway whenever we can, whenever mm-hmm. it makes sense, as long as you're handling your business.
Yeah.
If your grades are good, if your chores are done, if you're respectful to us and to, you know, other people, then you're showing me a level of maturity that maybe we can test the boundaries of. Mm-hmm. Stay up a little later to do this one time, this one exception, not a permanent granting of a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how we parented. We made them prove first, and then we rewarded. So
yeah, and it feeds into something that I've had discussion with the boys about in life in general, like with the law. I think it may have been Em and I were talking about something about driving, and it may have been, I don't remember if it was something about drinking and driving or something, but basically how important it is to have a clean record, because yeah. you will get passes
mm-hmm.
because of the fact you have a clean record mm-hmm. that I have been pulled over for going a little fast or doing mm-hmm. a little something. And the police will pull up and say, you know, you're a model citizen. You have no arrests. You have no, you know, warrants. You have no, mm-hmm. nothing has ever been out of place. I'll give you a pass.
Yep.
And the first time you dip your toe over and you're busted,
yeah.
that's a mark
yeah.
for the rest of your life. And you're not going to get those passes anymore.
No, they'll just write you a ticket. Mm-hmm. They won't even think twice. You've already sped. You've sped again. Here's your ticket, because you didn't learn the first time, at least in a recorded fashion. And mm-hmm. I've had similar conversations with them about school.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a teacher yeah. that you're causing problems for,
teachers hold grudges.
You're not turning in papers. You're talking in class. You're being disruptive. If there's something that comes up and it could go either way for you, it's mm-hmm. not going to go the way you want it to. If you're a problem student, and I don't mean be a suck up. You know, I never told my kids to be a suck up. I hate brown nosers. I hate fake. So it's genuine effort, genuine respect that you grant people, and you really do get that back. You know, in my experience, you really do get that back. There are rare cases where that's not true.
Yeah.
And those are people that you really don't want to be wasting your time on anyways, as I've come to learn.
Yeah, there's jerks everywhere.
Yeah, there are. And there's crazy everywhere. And you gotta kind of figure out, you know, okay, this is not a good thing, and back away slowly. But you've always got to try. You've always got to start out with, you know, the respect and all of that sort of stuff. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, it's kind of maybe something that you can put to her that way. It's kind of like building up that credit with your parents, with your teachers, with authority figures. I'm doing my stuff. I'm getting my chores done. My homework's all done. Is it okay if I just stay online for 5 more minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's easy to say yes. God, I wish I had known this when I was a teenager. I would have had yeses way more often. But if it's, I don't want to do my chores, or a big fight to get you to do your chores, or you don't do your homework, or you bring home a bad grade, and then you say, well, can I have 5 more minutes? No, absolutely not. You've done absolutely nothing to earn it or show that you're mature enough to stay up later. Yeah.
And it can be difficult with multiple kids, because then one's like, well,
yeah,
I need to stay up too. I want to stay up too, you know.
Yeah, you know, we sort of had that dynamic. made more complicated for in our situation because M is 5.5 years older than LT. So LT thinks I should be able to stay up as late as M.
Right.
Really not. No, it's not how that kind of math works.
Yeah.
And I think that it's got to be really hard for Nobilis with twins, a male and a female twins, that, you know, that that whole, well, she got two, why can't I? That would just drive me insane. Because I don't know how I would balance that because children are different and they need different limits sometimes. And I don't know how I would. So cheers to you, Nobilis. However you're wrangling it, yay you, because I don't know what I would do with that. Yeah, but I could see, you know, if he did allow Spenderfly an extra 5 or 10 minutes, the Nitro Lad would be, okay, me too, you know. It's tough, man. Kids will break you. They will break you.
And of course, with our understanding of gaming mechanics, and they don't acknowledge that.
No.
We don't get the thumbs up, hey, cool parents.
No, no.
Because you recognize gaming.
No, you're still terribly uncool. No, there's no cool. There's, I just, no. We will never be cool to our kids. Although M is now starting to kind of come around and see things a little differently.
Yeah.
We're still not cool. we're never going to be cool.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, if they defined cool as what their parents are, I'd kind of feel sorry for them.
Well, like Stephen Colbert when he was on, was it the Golden Globes?
Oh, the Grammys?
Grammys? Yeah, I think it was the Grammys.
Yeah, it was the Grammys because he and was up for an award.
His teenage daughter was in the Grammys or something. And he's like, and he would look down at her. Yep, I'm here at the Grammys. And looks down at his daughter. That makes me cool, right? And she just kind of shakes her head. No.
No, Dad, you're not cool.
and then a little later, he whips out an iPad, which was like days after the announcement.
Right.
Steve Jobs let me hold one of these. Honey, does that do it? She's like, well, no.
It was nice, though, when he won a Grammy and he asked her again. And she was like, yeah, because, you know, she didn't really think he was cool. It was just like, it's cool that she's got the camera on her three times during the Grammys. Yeah. Wow. I mean, and it's, you know, it depends. Again, it depends on how the whole day was. It depends on how hard and unfairly she lashed out at the other family members. Because that, to me, would definitely be weighed into it, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It could go either way for me, depending on, like, having been there and experienced it. But my first thought is, you know, the hard line time is 9 o'clock for it all to end and go to bed. Now, if that's not a turn out the lights thing in your house, which it sounds like it may not be, then I don't know that I think that 5 minutes makes a big difference. Now, if you're, you know, but then you have to kind of hang tough on the 5 minutes. If you say 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, 5 minutes 15. And 30 seconds, you're unplugging that computer power supply, because then you're going to have consistency issues, I think.
Yeah.
So at least in my experience, what I've got one 18-year-old, what do I know?
Thanks for calling in, though. It's a great question.
Yeah, thank you.
Definitely something we all face.
And it's not an easy one. I mean, even us sitting here, it's kind of like, well, it depends on this. And if the moon was this high in the sky and the shadow cast was like this, then it's not an exact science. So whatever kind of gets you through the event. I do feel sorry for her having lost those characters.
Yeah,
that is, oh, I cannot imagine.
Yeah.
So you want to know what this Twitter thing is all about, do you? Give me 10 minutes and I'll give you the lowdown on this 140-character craze Time Magazine calls the latest innovation in communication. Hi, I'm T. Morris, and I host Birdhouse Rules, the official podcast of Q's Publishing, All a Twitter, and Sam's Teach Yourself Twitter in 10 Minutes, both available in bookstores everywhere. The Birdhouse Rules keeps you in the know on hot topics, helpful tools, and latest upgrades in the Twitterverse. So wipe your feet at the door, don't even think about changing the channel on the plasma, and come on, no DMing from the dinner table. It's my house, my rules. Birdhouse Rules. Subscribe on iTunes or at birdhouserules.com.
This is Jonathan Colton, internet superstar, and you're listening to Into the Blender with Chooch and Viv.
Welcome to my secret lair on Skull Crusher Mountain.
Some of the nephews, one of the nephews, has lost characters a couple times.
Yeah. Well, he was pretty young then.
Yeah.
This was probably five years ago.
All the kids share passwords with all their friends, and they expect nothing's ever going to go wrong with that.
Yeah.
And they end up with disputes over items.
Yeah.
And now and then somebody's a real jerk and deletes everything or takes everything.
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
Just then you had a very, get off of my lawn. Because you went, all these kids. It was just like, I'm married to an old man. It's true, though.
No, our security talks go nowhere.
They go nowhere. They go nowhere. And, you know, the talks about the questionnaires in MySpace, and now they're creeping into Facebook, but they were terrible in MySpace with the 40 questions, and in there is buried, you know, basically, what school do you go to? What's your middle name? What's your birthday? So you're giving away all of this information packaged in a, who was the last person you kissed today? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, somebody's out there getting all that information on you and tying it to your account, and that's just not cool.
Yeah.
So it's constant policing. Ugh, what a drag. Go outside and play hopscotch, kids. I envy our parents. Go play in the dirt lot behind the school. Don't break nothing. The good old days. And we had fun in that dirt. So good luck with that. And happy birthday to your lovely wife, too.
Yeah. Happy birthday. We're so sorry we couldn't make it.
Yes. And this is probably going to be aired. Her birthday's tomorrow, so I'm thinking it's going to be late. But tell her happy birthday for us. That kind of is what one of our topics were for discussing today was the whole parenting and disciplining, because, you know, we've got the long distance parenting going on right now.
Yeah. Much added complications.
Yeah. We've got Jay, who's 10 years old, lives in California with his mom, which is, of course, your son from a previous marriage. And LT now lives with his dad in another state. And M has moved out, but he's 18. So it's not. It's different. It's a different dynamic. There's still parenting going on.
There's still a lot of parenting, but it's just not, there's not discipline. And
it's more, you know, it's like they turn 18 and you really quickly realize you can't smack them down with discipline because they'll just tune you out. They don't have to listen anymore. So I kind of took the tack
some things we have control over, but.
Yeah, but I mean, the tack I took was kind of like with my mom's, it's kind of like you kind of ease up. And you are more, because we always worked really hard on explaining what we were doing and why.
Yeah.
When there would ever be discipline, you know, whatever the punishment, the timeout, the removal of privileges or whatever. So that was always there. It's just that we don't have that stick now that I'm taking away your computer. So we really have to try harder to explain and really reach them, reach him specifically on things. And he's really been a lot more open to it than I ever could have hoped, at least at this point. You know, he's not quite 19 yet, so we'll see what happens, you know, when he gets closer to 21 and stuff.
There's some things that, you know, he will have already made his mind up about.
Absolutely.
Just, there's no, you're not going to change it.
Right. And it has, and in some cases, it has little or nothing to do with what we've instilled because he has another parental unit elsewhere that's guiding him and instructing him on how to do things too. So,
yeah. Additionally, into the grandparents, since he's been living with them, so now that, you know, they've got a lot more say in things he does, and
aunts and uncles that he sees, and it's kind of rough to be him right now. He's got a lot of people telling him what to do, but he's doing well, and he's making wise choices and and all that kind of stuff. He's got some exciting things coming up with changes and things, and I think he'll be okay. I'm pretty impressed with him.
Yeah,
gotta say. As for LT, I'd say it's more complicated than with Jay, because we've always been a source of discipline for him. And even though I can't discipline him in his dad's house, we still find difficulty in, you know, earlier this year, his grades were really bad. So I had to try and talk to him about his grades, and basically he didn't want to hear about it from me because, you know, what am I going to do? I don't even know if it was that. It was that probably he'd already gotten it from his dad and his stepmom. So, and it's a weird dynamic with us right now anyways.
Yeah.
But, you know, things like the cell phone, which, you know, he downloaded an application for it and we had told him.
The cell phone's still under our account.
We had told him, don't download anything. You got to talk to us first. So basically what he had done was he actually signed up for a $10 a month service.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. So it was one of those things where I couldn't get him to respond to me about it. So I shut his phone off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like one of those things where you don't want to spend the time that you get him on the phone disciplining him.
Right.
And hitting him with the negative stick. And you should have done this and you should have done that. And, you know, this is how you should do things. And this is the agreement that we had. And you don't want to do that. And it's kind of like, you know, I feel the need that I still need to be a strong parent to him. But I also miss him so much
mm-hmm.
that I don't want to. And you and I have had this conversation. I don't want to call him and say, you know, why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? I just want to have the time with him be positive since mm-hmm. it's so vastly reduced.
Yeah.
And it is a constant source of, I miss him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to him being here and he's been gone since last summer.
Right.
You know, he left at the beginning of the summer, came home for a week and was gone and then came home for a week at Christmas. And I used to have him in my daily, you know,
right.
And now it's like, I'm lucky if I can get him on the phone once a week and we text back and forth. But, you know, when I am able to get him on the phone, cause he's got a really busy schedule there. I don't want to be fighting. I don't want to be disciplining. I don't want to be punishing. I don't want to be lecturing. And it's that it's similar to our, we've joked before about the vacation parent.
Right.
And how, you know, we've worried that that's how Jay sees you and me. Because
that everything is being catered to. And
yeah, because when we see him, it's us going there.
We're usually on vacation.
Right, right. He, you know, when we see him, it's, you know, we haven't seen him for a while. So mm-hmm. let's go to Disneyland. Let's go to Knott's Berry Farm. Let's go, you know, to Boomers and, you know, play mini golf and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it is like the thing that we have tried not to be, but we're not in his daily. He doesn't live with us. So we don't have the pick up your clothes, do your laundry. Did you do your homework? We have the conversations of how are your grades? What's your favorite class? What book are you reading? I know I'm really struggling with finding the balance with LT. And part of me thinks that I should just let it go and let it be more like what it is with Jay.
Mm.
But LT is, you know, it's hard to break that habit.
Well, one of the big differences is he went from living with you full time, where Jay's mom and I split when he was 6 months old.
Yeah.
And she moved away.
Yeah.
So, you know, we haven't had that time.
Yeah.
We haven't had that dynamic. But little things do come up now and then.
Of course.
Like for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
we sent a package out
mm-hmm.
and it got there a few days before Christmas.
Right.
And he called and said, oh, the box got here. Can we open it now?
Mm-hmm.
And I could have said, let's see what you think.
Which is what I would have. I was like, yeah, let him open it.
And I was like, you know, you really should wait for Christmas Day and mm-hmm. open everything together. And
yeah.
I don't know if that's wrong or right, but that's how I felt about it. So that's what I said. And he had to wait.
Yeah. And he was disappointed. And I was like, oh. But when I thought about it, it was like, you're right. This is a Christmas morning thing. You know, your family, my family, our family, we open Christmas presents on Christmas morning. And you were right. I believe you were right in making him wait. Not just the fact that it was a co-op gift with his mom
mm-hmm.
and it would have ruined the surprise of what she was giving him, or it might have led to the surprise ruined, but it was the right thing to do. You were right. When Jay asks for something, because I have such guilt at us being so far away and not being able to afford to go out there more often.
Yeah.
I have such guilt over that I don't want to say no to him.
Mm-hmm.
it's harder for me to say no to him than it is to say no to probably anybody else, because I know I have been there every minute of every day for LT. Mm-hmm. And he knows that if he needs anything, if something comes up, he can call me in a heartbeat and I'm right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when M lived with his dad and he was in a car accident, my mother and I jumped on a plane and we flew out there to make sure he was okay. And we ended up nursing him for 5 days because nobody else in the family was able to. They were injured.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm right there and all that kind of stuff. And because we're on the opposite side of the country from Jay, I have such tremendous guilt.
Yeah.
I don't want to, he says, you know, can I own the moon? Sure, honey. Of course you can own the moon. What a silly, why didn't I think of giving it to you earlier? You know what I mean?
And so far, there's very few things that he ever actually asks for or...
Right.
Yeah. I think, you know, as he becomes a teenager, it's probably going to, you know...
It's going to get a bit outlandish when he says, I want a laptop. Well, I want to pay the house payment.
But so far, there's very few things that we need to say no about.
Right. Well, and that leads a lot to, you know, he's just, you know, he's a really good kid, mm-hmm. as is LT. We just don't see that day-to-day grind kind of, you know.
Don't have the fights about homework and brushing your teeth and,
And even M commented on how much better we get along now that we're not living together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's because I'm crazy when I have to, you know, I'm an insane roommate and I know it. But I also say my roommates are insane. So, yeah, I'm looking at you, Chooch. You and the dog, you're all that's left.
I was being quiet.
My roommates are insane. That's why we make such a good set. But it's just when you have that day-to-day grind, it's harder. I am shocked at how hard this transition with LT.
Yeah.
It's really hard because he even made a comment, every time we talk, you're mad at me about something. And it's like, it's not true. No. But I still have to look back and say, even if it's not true, if that's what his perception is.
Right.
And of course, the dynamic of, you know, working with the other parent, you know, working with Jay's mom, working with LT's dad to back them up and have them back us up when necessary, you know.
Yeah. It can be hard to hold your tongue, and she has views on certain things that are different from how we've raised the kids here.
Right. As
he's definitely sees more things, like movie-wise or game-wise or whatever,
right,
that we wouldn't have allowed.
Right.
But... Well, you know, it's our house.
And it's the same thing with my ex. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same. And I, you know, I started doing research when they were babies on when to expose them to things. And I think I've done pretty well. And I can tell you the times that I granted them exposure to things that I was like, oh, I wasn't sure. Like M watching Signs when he was, I don't know. It was over 5 years ago, so he would have been under the age of 12 when he watched that M. Night Shyamalaya Ding Dong Song movie. I mean, how do you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
M. Night.
Shyamalan.
I feel better now.
Nobody says it right.
But that movie Signs, which I thought was fantastic, brilliant. Oh, shut up. I thought it was a brilliant movie, and I know a lot of people don't. I think that it was, on the story level, it was a beautiful story. The family, the story of the family itself. The suspense was there. He didn't have the aliens in your face. It wasn't gory. It wasn't shocking. It was just a really nice, suspenseful, kept me jumping every once in a while movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to see it. And I was like, oh, I think it's too scary for you. Oh, mom.
You know, well, it's not graphic. And
right, exactly.
So
we watched it. We were watching it together. Upstairs, this is before you had moved up. And so we were upstairs watching it. So it had to be 2002. Mm-hmm. So he was like 11, 12. And he was terrified. That movie scared him to death. And I was just like, I knew I shouldn't have let him watch it. Oh, and we were watching it together. And we were both scared because I had already seen it on the big screen. I knew it was coming and it was still like jump, jump, jump. Because it's just that good. That's a good movie to me. And so it's, and I've joked with you about every time I'm not just worry, 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 and go over every detail with a fine tooth comb, it bites me in the ass. Every time I let up a little bit, it bites me in the ass, you know? And I just, That's why I'm usually in a clenched state, because it's less problematic for everyone except for me and what will eventually cause my aneurysm to burst. So I definitely see things differently than my ex as far as letting them see things. And I think that I have colored your view of when to let kids see things, which
absolutely
makes you out of skew with your ex. Mm-hmm. But I think that we are really blessed because they're all three really good boys at heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hard to mess that up. Lord knows we've tried. No, I'm curious to see of the other blended families, the other people out there that might be listening to this that are in blended families, how you manage that. Mm-hmm. Because, for instance, with the cell phone. Oh, another problem we were having with LT was that he was using his cell phone during the school day, which is not even allowed to be turned on.
Yeah.
And he was using daytime minutes, just crazy daytime minutes.
Yeah. Chewing up our bucket.
Yeah. Get out of my bucket. That was actually the trigger to shut the cell phone off.
Right.
The download was a different thing.
Yeah.
Don't you love cell phones? So I couldn't get him to respond to me about what he was doing and why he was using the cell phone during the school day. So I shut the cell phone off.
Mm-hmm.
And it took like 3 days before he finally called me and said, my phone's not working. And I was like, yeah, shut it off. Why'd you shut it off? Because you're using the phone during the school day. You're burning through the minutes and you're not responding to my questions about your phone usage. Right. So I shut it off.
Yeah. The reason we gave you a phone to take with you so we could have open communication.
Right. Not
you're not going to call. Yeah. No point in having it.
And I mean, I can't really blame him for not calling me because he knew he was going to get ready. Right. Oh, she busted me. She knows. I don't think, even though I told him I could see every call,
right,
the phone number, the duration and the time of day that he makes it, I don't think he really believed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, I had a conversation with his dad. I actually called him as soon as I shut the phone off. And I said, just so you know, I shut his phone off. That way, you know, you don't have him somewhere mm-hmm. where he needs to call you for a ride or anything like that. You need to make other arrangements because I've shut his cell phone off until he calls, explains this to me, apologizes and promises to never do it again. And his dad was like, done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he totally had my back on it. Probably was even a little grateful that I had taken the phone as an issue because unbeknownst to me, it was becoming an issue at their house
mm-hmm.
where my ex's wife was concerned about how much he was texting, which kids text. We text a lot. I think it's just a different form of communication. It's not different to me than email or instant messaging mm-hmm. or anything like that. I don't think it's a big deal. We've got unlimited texting.
Yeah.
As you know, our rules, you don't text at the dinner table. You don't text during a family get together unless, you know, something happens and everybody splits off or something. Mm-hmm. You know, time with people comes before texting.
Yeah, just manners.
It's just manners. And apparently it was becoming an issue. So they were grateful to me for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so his dad totally had my back on that and also, you know, took it on his end, taking it up with LT on the no texting at school.
Yeah.
If you do it again, your cell phone's going to stay here, which causes problems other ways. You know, he can't necessarily go to a friend's house after school because he doesn't have the cell phone to text his dad or to call his dad, which I'm sure the kid has a home phone, but, you know, I don't know. So, you know, it's just trying to have each other's back on issues. And even, you know, when you don't necessarily agree, consistency is important.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got that from him and also back to him on that stuff. And I mean, I could have just shut it off and not called his dad, but that could have put LT in some sort of a scheduling problem. So,
yeah, that's just not fair.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been. It could have been an unsafe situation. Mm-hmm. So communication is not fun a lot of times when you're dealing with co-parenting someone you're no longer married to. But it's definitely necessary in the kids' benefit.
Oh, yeah.
So again, I'm curious if anybody out there has any comments or stories that they'd like to share on long distance parenting and trying to share discipline and responsibilities with the other parent. I'd be really interested in hearing.
I think that will about do it for us this round.
Yeah, I think so. Lots of parenting whining this time. did want to mention that we will be at Balticon this Memorial Day weekend with lots of amazing and magnificent people. Panelists, authors.
Artists.
Just crazy epic wind falling out of people's butts. You won't even believe how much awesome is going to be there. It's kind of gross.
A little bit.
Does it paint a picture?
Oh, there's a picture.
So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
I'll talk to you soon.
I said later.
Promise.
Why must you contradict me? Why?
Later can be soon.
Laters.
Late.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to intotheblender@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 657-464-4820.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 license.
You're free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content, just not modify or make money from it.
Theme music is provided by Sharif, found on podsafeaudio.com.
For more information about the artist, head to sharifmusic.com.
That's SHARIF music.com.